Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Sean Cantwell here at your local alternative solid state radio. Adam will be over in a minute. He's putting on the finishing touches on tonight's installment of Sessions, your full hour of local original music we do every weeknight here at 6 o'clock here at the alternative station. So once he's done with that, I have no doubt really that he'll be ready to rant about the Red Wings from last night. A game that, well, nice. It was a nice rally, at least attempt at, but fell a little bit short at the end, ultimately. We'll get into that. Of course, we've got Lions stuff to talk about. Of course, we've got a game coming up Sunday, and a lot of shall we say, slander being thrown at, well, actually not the Lions quarterback for a change, but it still need to be called out, and we'll talk about that coming up here in a little bit as well. If anything actually finally breaks with the Jim Harbaugh stuff, we'll bring it to you, but that's been such a cluster. You know what? Okay, he's in Chargers. He's interviewing with the Chargers again. It's pretty much a done deal. Oh, he's gone back to the Falcons for an interview. Oh, now he's back in Ann Arbor. Like, pick a freaking lane and go with it, man. You at this point, I didn't know what's all out there for you. But we'll get into that coming up. And then a couple things that are not so sports related that we'll have some fun with coming up. Plenty of stuff to get to. It is Happy Hour at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. So the Jim Harbaugh saga is hopefully close to reaching its conclusion. There was some word that came out right before we hit the air today, actually, that Harbaugh has canceled his second interview with the Atlanta Falcons that was scheduled for today. Meanwhile, he's been in L.A., appearing to have serious discussions about the possibility of joining the Chargers as Michigan also attempts to keep him there. This coming from Bleacher Report's Jordan Schultz. It very much sounds like if he's going anywhere in the NFL, it's going to be Los Angeles. Michigan still making a push to keep him, it sounds like, but I can't imagine Harbaugh's interested at this point, because if there's a contract offer that's been sitting waiting for him and he's ignored it up to this point, I tend to think that he would have signed it by now if he was really that interested in coming back and not ultimately interested in seeing what the NFL had to offer him. I mean, and you can't really blame the guy for that. He did have success at the NFL level, arguably to pay every bit as well, probably better than what Michigan could or would offer, and would give Harbaugh a chance at chasing that Super Bowl ring that eluded him when he was last in the league. He's won a natty in college. He's not going to be a Nick Saban where he's going to win like 6-7 titles with the Wolverines. He's really kind of hit the peak of what he's going to do at U of M, and probably feels that there's not much point in continuing to stick around at U of M, knowing that, well, for one, NCAA sanctions are very much looming here. Like, they haven't finished the rest of the investigation yet, despite Harbaugh saying on national television that he's innocent and that, oh, well, he's already served his time and whatever, everything else, and they already did the suspension for him. Like, there's still NCAA sanctions that are waiting in the wings here. They haven't finished anything. They haven't really done anything yet. This has all been done by the university or the Big Ten. There's a lot yet to be unpacked there, and I don't think he wants to be around when another shoe drops. Hard to blame him, really. So unless what the Chargers are offering him is just entirely laughable, which I doubt would be the case. Like, they're not going to make him just a completely insulting offer. Even the Spanoses aren't that dumb. It would appear that this thing is going to end up with him being the next head coach of the Chargers in all likelihood. I don't know what the hang-up really is at this point, why there isn't something in place already. It could very well be a power thing. Remember, they haven't hired their next GM yet either. Maybe he wants more input on personnel than they're willing to give. Maybe it is a money thing. It's kind of hard to say, but the fact that he's canceled a second interview with another team that was very interested in bringing him in would seem to suggest that he's made up his mind if the Chargers will give him what he wants. We'll continue to follow this, and if anything develops during the show, we'll break it to you. In the meantime, let's hit a break. It is Happy Hour at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. Audioslave, your local alternative solid state radio. It is happy hour. Still on Jim Harbaugh watch over here. Still no official hiring from the Chargers yet, but it certainly seems to be heading that way. This whole process is stupid, and good Lord, pick a damn team and make the announcement already and quit stringing Michigan along, would you? Red Wings next. Here's Mike Shinoda at Solid State Radio. Cross is at your local alternative solid state radio. What's going on? It is happy hour. He's Adam Harahawk. Back from the depths of wherever the hell he's been off getting us local original music and things of that nature.
Yeah, doing that local original music thing. Friday is Michigan's birthday.
Is it?
187 years old. She looked great.
So what's the theme for Friday's show then?
Just Michigan made music. There really wasn't anything.
We're not doing anything special for you, Michigan. In fact, if you could go ahead and pay for your own dinner tonight, that'd be great.
Hey, we gave her an hour-long birthday card.
That's fair. I'll grant you that.
Yeah.
On that note, let's do that hockey, shall we?
Yeah.
So the rally fell a little bit short last night.
Yeah, it did. But, I mean, they still had that never-say-die attitude. And it was against the Dallas Stars. We said that that was going to be a tough game, and it was. They had a good first period, a really good third period. It was that second period. They just, I don't know if they forgot how to hockey or what.
I think they forgot that, I don't know, clocks must have got messed up in the locker room or something. Because they just didn't show up for that second period at all.
Yeah, I mean, they hit the snooze button big time. I mean, they were up 2-1 going into the second period and then let in four goals. You got goals from Mason Marchment, Brian Marchment's kid, probably. Roope Hintz with two goals. Essa Lindell with a goal as well.
You made that last name off.
Lindell, I don't know. Roope Hintz with an assist on that one, too.
Yeah, Roope Hintz had he had him a game last night, did he not?
Oh, he did. He did. Earned himself the first star, two goals and an assist. He was a +3 on the night. Dylan Larkin, your captain, he ends up as a third star with one goal and an assist. David Perron and Alex DeBrincat, both on the power play in the first period. And then the rally started. Dylan Larkin on the power play. JT Compher with his fourth goal of the night. The fourth goal of the night. His 11th of the season. So, I mean, against a good team like Dallas, to see them come back like that is great. Wish they would have won, of course, but I mean, that's just not how sometimes hockey works.
Yeah, certainly can't accuse them of giving up, that's for sure.
No. I've seen a lot of teams recently where they're just kind of like, we're down 4-1. Well, I guess, all right.
Clearly, we're not coming back from this.
Well, let's just get this over with so we can go to the bar. Next up, we got the Philadelphia Flyers coming into town. Philadelphia Flyers, who are less Carter Hart these days, because they've granted him a leave for personal reasons. And I don't know who they've had in goal form. Oh, okay.
Neither does anybody else. Yeah, don't feel bad.
Well, this guy, Erson, never heard of him. I thought it was Carter Hart. But no, apparently not. The Samuel Erson, he is 12 wins, 7 losses on the season with 3 shutouts. He's rocking a .244 goal against average and a .905 save percentage. So they're probably like, Carter Hart, okay, you need some time out. Yeah, go ahead, bud. We got this all
taken
care of.
Take all the time you want. We really don't need you.
Hope it's not anything too serious, but, you know. Yeah, Flyers, they're having a really, really good season.
Better than I think a lot of people expected. Better than I expected. I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't see this coming.
I mean, it's Tortorella, is it not?
I mean, there's something to be said about Tort's ability to really to get the most out of a team for a very limited time. A very limited time.
Yeah. This is true. I mean, if the playoffs were to start today, if I can find the right damn screen, I believe the Flyers are third in the second in the Metropolitan, excuse me. So if they were to play, they would be against a bunch of jerks in the first round.
And they might have a chance against the bunch of jerks.
Yep. If the playoffs were to start today, Boston would be playing Detroit in the first round.
I like my odds there.
Yep. Oh, okay, yep, and New York Rangers versus Toronto.
Yeah, thank God it's not our problem.
Yeah, right.
Hopefully New York, you know, in that scenario, well, I don't know. Toronto might, it has finally managed to get over their curse of not getting out of the first round of late, unfortunately.
And New York Rangers, they're kind of built like a team that they're going to do well in the regular season and then just blank the bed in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
They just kind of have that kind of look to them. Then in the West, you have Edmonton Oilers. They'd be taking on the Vegas Golden Knights. Why am I bringing up the Edmonton Oilers? Because they are on a, I don't know how this got past us, they are on a 14-game winning streak.
Yeah, they've been just absolutely on fire of late. Kenny Holland might have just saved his gig after all.
He might have. Apparently, that Knob Creek guy or Knob something, Knobworth or whatever.
Chris Knobloch.
Knobloch. Yeah, he apparently he was the leading guy. He was the coach they needed. So
yeah, I didn't, you know, it's funny when they fired Jay Woodcroft as early as they did in the season, I'm like, is this really going to make that much of a difference? Is he really the problem here? And then new guy has got this team ripping off an 11 game win streak or 14 game win streak rather.
Yep.
So I mean, well, maybe
it was the coaching issue. They've got that taken care of, and they've brought in some recruits or a recruit, Corey Perry. He is going to be playing for the Oilers.
I'm not sure if that's really going to do what they think that's going to do for him.
I don't know. I mean, I guess it couldn't hurt.
You know, I suppose it couldn't hurt, but I don't know if it's going to help them nearly as much as...
As long as he stays off the sauce and isn't hitting on any staff members, he'll be fine. He'll be just fine.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if he manages to stay away from those things, then maybe there's a shot this works, but I'm not holding my breath on any of it.
We shall see. We shall see.
I suppose so. Here's the thing on Rateland for the Night Sweats. Your local alternative is Solid State Radio. Latest right there from Sum 41. Your local alternative is Solid State Radio. What's going on? It is happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. And, well, it's good to know, I guess, at least, that it's not just Americans who feel like completely entitled to who act like entitled a-holes on planes and such. Apparently, a plane in China was delayed by 3 hours, and 300 people were forced to rebook their flights after an angry passenger demanded 3 first-class seats but only paid for 2. The unidentified man argued with the cabin crew and passengers on the flight from Beijing to Chengdu on December 30th. He was adamant that because he bought 2 first-class tickets, he should be allowed to upgrade a family member from economy class for free. In a viral video filmed by a passenger, the man is seen surrounded by a group of people, including flight attendants, security guards, and passengers, as he rages against them. When a male passenger attempts to point out the airline's policy, the man becomes furious and turns on him. A security guard tries to intervene and calm the situation, but the man will not be subdued.
Jeez. Yeah, I thought that was I thought Americans only did this.
Yeah, I thought so, too. No, apparently a-holes exist everywhere. So originally, it began with the man's 2-year-old son, who was sitting next to him in the first-class cabin, started to cry. The child had originally been sitting in economy, but the man demanded the crew upgrade his child's seat to first class. When the request was denied, he became angry. Eventually, the man got escorted off the plane at 3 hours later.
The kid was allowed to stay.
Yeah. I wouldn't let the kid stay either. No, the hell with that.
No.
I don't want to deal with your screaming kid, especially now a screaming kid with his parents being removed from the plane. That just sounds like a bad time for all parties involved.
That kid was terrified.
Oh, no doubt. What is it with people and the inability to, like, okay, you paid for this seat. Be okay, you know, except that that's the seat that you paid for. You're not getting free upgrades because you think you're entitled to them. Can we just be done with this nonsense?
Well, the problem is that there are a lot of YouTube sites and a lot of websites that tell you how to...
get everything you want for free?
Yeah, I mean, scamming...
How to be a Karen.
Businesses, hotels, flights, everything. Here's what you need to do. You need to tell them you want this, and you go for this, and you get this for free. Definitely hit like and subscribe, blah, blah, blah. And come to find out, a lot of this stuff doesn't work. So he's thinking, well, I'll buy 2, and, I mean, they're just not going to let that one just sit open. Well, they probably sold it.
Yeah, that's traditionally how these things work, dude. Hate to be the one to break that to you, but, yeah, they don't just leave the seat open for free. Like, your scamming nonsense isn't gonna work for you today. Don't know what to tell you.
So did he have somebody in economy that was watching this kid, or was it just him and the kid?
I assume it was. Well, it was. I think him and the baby's mother, presumably, or his wife, or whatever.
Right.
Because there was three people all together, and two of them, the parents presumably upgraded, and then they just left it. They were going to leave the kid behind, except they decided to throw a 3-hour tantrum about it instead. You know, your lack of planning is not my emergency. Hate to break this to you.
Or your attempt to scam our business
is definitely not my emergency.
I mean, I feel bad for these airline workers who have to deal with this.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not. The word vigilante is thrown around a lot lately, but I'm thinking all these people filming them. I mean, what if somebody was just like, sit down, dude. You paid for two, you get two. Let's get this bird off the ground. And then if it doesn't happen, put his head down in the blue water in the toilet.
That seems fair. You know, I can accept this.
Sure.
I could be entirely fine with that. If that is the route we're allowed to go, I'll sign off on it right now.
Right, right. Just make throw him a beating. I mean, because you know, once those videos come viral, this guy wanted three full first class tickets for the price of two. Well, somebody from Newark, New Jersey, beat the living tar out of him.
Yeah, that's really, I feel, what needs to happen far more often in situations like these. Yeah, you thought you were getting a free seat. Yeah, you're getting an ass whooping instead.
Yeah, you think you're really kind of pull one over on an airline. What you're doing is holding up 300 other people or how many ever else on the plane, and that's you're putting your life in danger because as many crazy people are on there, you know. I'm sorry, my plane's gonna miss my first day on the job because this jackanape can't figure out simple math. I don't think so. This guy's getting beat up today.
Not happening. I'm not to have my travel plan set back a day because of this a-hole.
Right.
That's not gonna happen.
Exactly. Exactly.
The more people stand up to these a-holes and, you know, give them what for. Not that I'm encouraging fighting on airplanes, good Lord, but, you know, I'm not encouraging it either.
Yeah, I mean, in all situations, when somebody's given a ripping into a waitress or something like that at a restaurant, maybe it takes another customer to, you know, beat the living hell out of them. I mean, you know, just...
You know, I kind of like this idea.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a fan of bar fights and things of that nature, but the point where you're being disrespectful to the other people around you, you know, maybe an ass beating is warranted here.
Here at Adam and Sean's Grub Hut, your food is free if you beat up somebody who's ragging on one of our waitresses.
We'll tell the cops you were never here.
Yeah. Our lips are sealed if his lip's bleeding.
I think it's a great business model. I think more places should adopt that. All we need you to do is beat the crap out of your fellow customers. You're getting at least free drinks on me, man.
Yeah, you're taken care of. Customer of the week. And in other restaurants, kids eat free. Here, you eat kids for free.
That works for me. This is a great idea. We need to get on this before talking to any lawyers about any such thing.
Adam and Sean's Grub Hut. There we go. In two wonderful locations, Columbiaville and north of Columbiaville.
Also Columbiaville. It's happy hour at Solid State Radio. Garbage, your local alternative is Solid State Radio. What's going on? It is happy hour. He's Adam Harahawk. I'm Sean Cantwell. And... You know how much I love these stories. Are you ready to be mad at something PETA did yet again?
Oh, yeah. I mean, so PETA looks good on paper, doesn't it? Oh, we're just trying to save the animals. But they take it to such a militant, annoying way.
Well, really, my problem with PETA is they're wanting to impede on my ability to eat animals. And quite frankly, you get the hell out of the way of my animals or I'm going to run your ass over.
That's right.
So, is that time of the with the time of the year that it is, you can guess exactly what it is that PETA's going after this time.
Oh boy,
Groundhog Day. They've proposed a quite literal change to Pennsylvania tradition by offering to replace Punxsutawney Phil with, get this, an enormous golden weather predicting coin.
Okay. A big old coin. Yeah, because it's coin hog day.
Yeah, it's coin hog day. You didn't know? That's so there's a statement, of course, and as we do, we'll do this. Groundhogs can't make head or tails of the weather forecast and shouldn't be jostled around by large members of a different species and thrust in front of noisy crowds for a photo op, PETA president, who what's her bitch, said. PETA is urging the Punxsutawney Groundhog Club to send Phil to a reputable sanctuary that will give him the care he needs and not to treat him as a wildlife prop.
We got a quote from Punxsutawney Phil, and he's quoted as saying, "Back off! You're ruining my gig." You mean I don't have to live in the woods and forage for food? I get to sit in, you know, in relative comfort 364 days a year, and then one day a year I get thrust in front of a bunch of people, they all applaud, and I get to like hang out with a bunch of female hedgehogs or whatever they are, groundhogs.
Hedgehogs.
I mean, where's the problem, PETA? You're really busting up my game here.
Right, like, what are you trying to do to me here, man? Like, I'm just trying to get my groundhog thing on, and, like,
right.
You're really making that rather difficult.
He's got a wonderful habitat. He's got sparkling clean water. He's got food whenever he wants. I mean, what
got all the groundhog trim he could possibly want. Like, why are you trying to F this guy's life up here? I don't get it.
There you go, sweetheart. Let's see if this sees its shadow.
Yeah. So PETA made the offer in a letter the group claims it sent to the Punxsutawney Groundhog Club, the organization that says its task is to protect and perpetuate the legend of the great weather-predicting groundhog Punxsutawney Phil. The animal rights group claims the enclosure where the groundhog is kept year-round at the local library so that one day a year he can bring revenue and attention to Punxsutawney simply isn't humane, and said subjecting the animal to the yearly festivities should be ended, just as eating groundhogs is no longer part of the annual tradition. Was that a thing?
That was never a thing. Nobody ever ate a groundhog. Not on purpose. I mean, there's probably some backwoods yokel who just, oh, that looked delicious.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, these people, like, this is, if I remember right, the western side of Pennsylvania. So I don't, you know, those people are weird over there. Like, you know, the answers may be entirely, yeah, them groundhogs taste really good, Nat. Like, you know, it might have been a thing. I don't know.
I'm sure somebody probably tried it, but I mean, let's face it. There's some humans out there to try to eat humans, so yeah, it is a thing. Now, as far as a inhumane keeping it in a library, whatever, I don't buy that because first of all, here is this guy with a top hat, looking a lot like, you know, Uncle Moneybags from Monopoly Board.
I'm pretty sure he is Rich Uncle Moneybags from Monopoly.
And he reaches down there, I think with his bare hands, grabs this rodent, and apparently this rodent is treated very well because this rodent is like, hey, cool, all right, as opposed to just mauling the living hell out of this guy. That's the Groundhog Day I want to see. Somebody reaching in there, and everybody's like, ooh, Bugs Bunny Bill, and this thing just mauls.
Okay, so there actually was, like, it was part of the holiday, the whole, the we're cooking us up some groundhog or whatever. It was a thing for a while.
Oh, my God. When did that? It had to have been during the Depression. They ate everything during the Depression.
Well, it started in, like the 1880s.
Okay.
It is, the hunt and feast did not attract enough outside interest, and the practice was discontinued sometime probably after the World War II.
Yeah, and it was like, we're really eating it? Really? Are you sure?
Yeah.
Do we have to eat this thing? You know, we could probably get a ham or something like that. No? Oh, okay. I guess we're eating the groundhog. So stupid.
No, it absolutely is a thing. PETA has offered to provide a coin, with one side calling for 6 more weeks of winter and the other in early spring, for Groundhog Day organizers to use instead of relying on the weather predicting capabilities of a marmot. The group also argues the coin would be just about as accurate as Punxsutawney Phil. A coin lands on the same side around 50% of the time, whereas Phil's predictions have been shown to be correct around just 40% of the time.
Ooh, wow.
Ooh, damn,
stats.
Taking shade, throwing shade at the groundhog? What did the groundhog do to you, PETA? Like, here you're trying to, you're already trying to get this guy kicked out of his habitat. You're like, oh, he sucks at predicting the weather anyway? What is your deal, man?
Somebody let these idiots know it's not really the groundhog that's whispering in their ear. It's just, and another thing, yeah, if this groundhog was being so mistreated, they're going to put somebody's going to put their ear up to this guy with big old teeth, and, you know, what are you going to say, Punxsutawney Phil? Is it going to be, oh my God, ah, Tommy, shoot it. Why don't we just flip the groundhog?
Right, yeah, just flip the groundhog. Like,
call it in the air.
Tails.
Yeah, I don't know what a groundhog sounds like, but
I don't either.
I'm sure when it hits the ground, it's making a run for it. Somebody grab it. Here you go, Peter. It's all yours now. I don't know what to do with this thing. Well, it's yours now.
Oh, great. So apparently there is it lives in a homemade burrow, according to their website. Not in an enclosure, but his own burrow that connects to several locations throughout the town, including the town park, the library, and Barclay Square, which I assume is where they do the actual, they draw the groundhog for the thing.
So he's got his own little trail and everything?
Yeah. A whole underground, series of tunnels.
I don't have my underground series of tunnels. Nobody does.
Now, Grant, their website also says that this particular groundhog has been alive since 1887, so who knows how true any of this is?
Yeah, I know there's been there's last couple of years, especially during terrorist times, they've had armed guards for Punxsutawney Phil because people are worried that somebody's going to take a shot at the groundhog. Like, what kind of la 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 la? Poof.
This is going to blow. Gonna blow that whole damn burrow. We can't let the terrorists win, man. Yeah. Whether that's PETA or you know anyone else.
Yeah. Oh, look at the groundhog. He's got a belt on. What is that?
Holy! In the past, the group has also offered to replace Punxsutawney Phil with a persimmon tree or a willing human participant. How the hell is a tree predicting winter? Explain that to me, PETA. Yeah. How's a tree supposed to predict winter?
Well, you hug it, and if it hugs you back, you did too much acid. It's 5 more weeks of acid.
I'm not going to lie. I'd be fine with the willing human participant part of it. We just,
it's Chris Kattan. They're just pulling out. What are you saying, Chris? 6 more weeks of winter, and the election was stolen.
Oh God, is he one of those too?
Yeah.
Oh Jesus, no wonder they play Lapierre so much.
Yeah.
So I'm fine with the willing human participant. Like, can we take a PETA member, just lock him in a cage with just only wearing one of their stupid furs murder signs for the winter? And if he doesn't die of hypothermia before Groundhog Day, that means 6 more weeks of winter.
There you go. I like it.
I say we adopt that. How's that sound?
I'm so cold. Yeah, but think about the groundhog you're saving right now. Where's the groundhog right now? He's over on the other side of the city, just mounting other groundhogs.
See, you've really truly done some good work here.
So you're not using the groundhog anymore? What happened to the groundhog? We ate it. Showtime.
It's Green Day. The American Dream is killing me. Solid State Radio. The Kills at your local alternative Solid State Radio. It is happy hour. Sean Cantwell here. Adam Harahuck over there.
Oh.
And while I am rather really glad to finally, as a millennial, as one of the elder millennials, or maybe the younger side of, I'm not sure which.
You, an elder millennial is I only know because Eliza Schlesinger calls herself an elder millennial. I'm trying to remember when she was born.
She's probably closer to 40 than I am now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But now that we're finally done being blamed for things, And now that thankfully that's passed on to another generation. You know who gets left out of all these things? Gen X.
Yeah.
Like, the boomers get blamed for everything. The millennials got blamed by them for everything. Now it's Gen Z. You guys somehow got out of all of the things.
Yep, we did. Because we clap back.
That you do.
I mean, boomers try to be like, oh, you guys are stupid. You don't, computer that you guys are on, the video games all suck. It's like, hey, you had pet rocks and you talked to plants. Shut up. I don't recall any of us having mood rings, you lazy piece of crap.
Right. But Gen X basically gets to stay out of that. And this there's some interesting I came across here from the old MSN. 22 reasons no one cares about Gen X. We'll see how accurate you find these to be as the resident Gen Xer of this show.
Sure.
The value of privacy. Gen Xers notably lean towards maintaining privacy in an era saturated with oversharing. Raised in a pre-social media time, they sincerely appreciate personal boundaries and the sanctity of private moments. This inclination sets them apart in a world where constant sharing has become the norm, emphasizing a more reserved and guarded approach to personal matters and experiences.
I don't remember seeing that. I know a lot of people that I graduated from high school and people I played in bands with who are Gen Xers, they share everything. They don't shut up.
They're all over the social media.
Yeah, social media and just oversharing for everything.
Like, trust me, we don't really care about that much about what's going on with you, man. Like, no offense, but because it seemed like they were some of the biggest, earliest, arguably adopters of social media and things of that nature.
Yeah, we were absolutely.
Like they were on that pretty early on when it all started becoming particularly popular.
Yep.
So I don't know if that's necessary. I mean, do they overshare maybe as much as those damned millennials do? Probably not.
I've seen a lot more millennials really kind of start pulling back. It's a Gen Z who everything, their life is an open book. Millennials, I've noticed that a trend is that as millennials become parents, a lot of them don't want to share pictures of their kids on there. A lot of times they'll have their pictures of their kids and their face will be blurred out or an emoji over their face. And that makes total sense.
I've noticed a lot more of that lately, too. Yeah.
And that is, from what I've noticed, is a lot more the millennials. I know some boomers who are upset that, I want to be able to share a picture of my grandchild, but my daughter says no, not without, their face and everything else.
At that point, here, counterpoint even to that, don't post pictures of your kids at all then. If you are the person that's, so freaked out about your, people having access to pictures of your kids online or whatever, that we're just going to, put a sticker over their face or whatever, then just don't post the picture. What's the point?
Well, I mean, a lot of times, we want you to see their outfit because we're all dressed up in stupid matching pajamas.
We don't really care. Yeah. just take the hint then. That's probably not great either, having the pictures of their clothes out there. So you're going to make it easier for someone to up and take off with your kid because, that's totally a thing that happens.
Yep.
So just skip that step entirely and just don't post pictures of your kids at all. A public service announcement brought to you by Happy Hour.
Oh, your idea is don't have kids.
Well, okay, I was getting to that, but yeah, also just don't have kids. Just don't have them in the first place and you won't have to worry about, privacy issues with, keeping your kid's picture off the internet or whatever.
Right.
As it turns out, that's probably the easiest way to avoid the problem altogether. You're welcome, America. Parents to millennials and Gen Z. Gen Xers frequently find themselves in the role of parents to the younger and more vocal generations. While guiding and nurturing the next wave, they dedicate their energy to the role, often without making much noise. Do they really, though?
I make a bunch of noise about the kids I'm raising.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. I've had a couple like, you talk about us on the radio. I was like, damn right.
Yeah. I'm sure they absolutely, I know they love that.
Straighten up, fly right.
Don't do stupid things and I won't have to make fun of you on the radio for them. But I mean, also, isn't it kind of like, or is that more the millennial generation, the mommy vloggers and the people that have to put their kids' entire life out there? Look at my little baby content over here.
Yes, that That is, I don't think that's limited to one generation or another. I mean, I have seen some new mommies who are millennials, and maybe some of the Gen Z is starting to sneak in there. And they spend a lot of time talking about the kid. But I also spend a lot of time talking about Joey, so that I'm guilty of that myself.
Oh, those certainly. No one will ever accuse you otherwise.
No.
Pop culture shifts. The prime years of Gen X's pop culture have gradually dimmed, eclipsed by the ever-changing trends embraced by subsequent generations. Although they enjoyed iconic movies, music, and TV shows, the rapid evolution of media has shifted the limelight elsewhere. Gen Xers exhibit diverse content preferences as they watch more live TV than millennials and more video on demand than those boomers.
Yeah, we're kind of all over the place. I don't know who watches any live television, like sitcoms. I mean, sports, yes. But I mean,
sports is the last thing we have, really.
Yeah, I mean, everything else is like, you know, like the new Night Court on at 8 o'clock on Tuesday. Like, I'll catch it later. I'll catch it on Hulu or whatever it's on. But yeah, because I do the streaming, and that's what I think most people do.
I feel like that's fairly true. Like, a lot of people have very much gravitated towards that, which I mean, me a little bit less so. Like, But as you know, my TV consumption in its entirety is basically limited to sports.
Yeah, you can't be really held down to watch a TV show. You don't have the attention span.
And with the attention span, I don't have the time. Who's got time to just sit out and veg out in front of the TV? I don't. I have way too much crap to do.
I do whenever I can, absolutely. Like, I watch the new show Ted, and that was funny, but only 7 episodes. They know my time's valuable.
Like, I have to think, like, the last time I actually sat down to watch something on TV, live TV, that wasn't sports, I don't think I could remember it. Even live for TV, streaming.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time I was like, oh, I got to turn it on because of this. I think it was like the weather report when I drove through a tornado. And then I was like, I had to remind myself, how do I watch TV again?
Poor Adam.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, maybe that is the thing. I feel like there's just not that, like, pop culture isn't necessarily what it was in the boomer generation, though. Like,
No, it's...
There's not that those big shared experiences that, like, everyone you know watched this show at this time, whatever. That's just not a thing that exists anymore.
It is. It's just not all on the same day. It's all, oh, did you see The Walking Dead? Did you see Game of Thrones? Did you watch... You gotta go and watch this. All right. Did you watch The Mandalorian? Oh, you gotta watch that. But it's not, like... Okay, we all watched this happen on. We all watched In Living Color on Sunday. We talked about it in school on Monday. That's gone. But I mean, also with pop culture, Gen Z and millennials, they really don't bray up with one thing or another. Music trends or movie trends. They like what they like, and that's it. That there's like I got a guy who's. Tail end of millennials, maybe even close to Gen Z. I work with him, and he listens to his music on his phone because he's in the back room. Customers don't see him,
yeah.
And everybody's fine with it. He listens to, I mean, in any time, it's like Avenged Sevenfold, Benny King, Frank Sinatra.
That's quite the
Metallica.
Variety there, man.
Yeah, he is everywhere. He is everywhere, and he's fine with it. And that's the way a lot of people are, musically speaking. They just like music. They don't really bray up, oh, I can only listen to rock. I can only listen to country. They listen to it all.
Like, I feel like that's somewhat of an anomaly, but then I also see, like, you have, like, these artists, like, the two I see the most often with this are, like, Jelly Roll and Hardy, where it's like, okay, it's kind of, it's country, sort of, but it's, really rap, and there's kind of sort of rock elements in it.
Yep.
And quite frankly, to me, it just disappoints all the way around. Like, it's not particularly good at any of those things. It's like, okay, so you're rapping about country things and setting it to a trap beat with some guitars underneath.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
This
and it's huge.
And it sucks.
And it is huge. But I mean, that as you get older, sometimes the things come as like, really? Really? That's what we're watching? I mean, I watch the kids watch YouTube, and it's like, that's really what you're watching? You're watching somebody tell you a story in a monotone voice, while on the other side of the screen, you got somebody playing with bubble wrap. It's almost like their attention is divided so much that you got to have two things going on for them to really listen.
It does seem like very much the kind of... like ADD theater that we always say that we are on this show.
Oh yeah.
And I'm realizing that as ADD theater goes, we ain't got you know what on on this generation. I mean,
oh my god, yeah.
You know, it's so weird because like I'll see things come across Facebook, like all of a sudden there's these pages now that the pages that basically steal content from Reddit, Am I the A-holes and things of that nature.
Yep.
They now have these, but it's like there's the text on the screen that's being read in a monotone, probably, you know,
yes,
computer voice, over top some like world in Roblox that someone's jumping all over or whatever. Like,
yeah.
Why does that need to be a thing? That's just distracting for one.
Yes.
And B, like we can't come up with original content, so let's just steal everything from Reddit. Yeah. Am I the A-hole coming up next time? No. Like it's just
it's
you've got to have like at least three shiny things going on at the same time to distract you.
Yep, and it's gonna get bad because those people are gonna be in the workforce in about 5 years, and it's gonna be like, all right, you need to do this job. Hey, no, over here, look, follow the shiny keys. Come here, you got to do this job here, and it's they can't focus. If there's a 30-second video, 30-second video is too much. They have to say, watch to the end.
Yeah, that's just stupid. I'm sorry. I can't with that. Like the your attention span clearly isn't enough to be able to sit through a 30-second video.
Yeah. Yeah, it's bad. It's good. I remember in the 70s they were talking about my generation being they're watching Sesame Street and each segment's only like 2 or 3 minutes long. That's going to really affect their attention span. And then I don't remember what they said after that because I wasn't paying attention.
What were we talking about again? I don't remember. It's happy hour at Solid State
Radio. Mushrooms.
Happy hour, your local alternative Solid State Radio, and that's gonna about do it for us for this afternoon. Come back tomorrow at 3 where we'll get into some actual Lions talk leading up to this game. We have a few things few things we really need to discuss with regards to your local football team.
Yep.
We'll get into all that over the next few days, I'm sure. It'll probably be a good chunk of the time that we spend on this show on Friday, I would imagine. Will be Lions-centered. Right. We'll probably actually finish off that list that we started today about the Gen X stuff. Because we started into that like, oh, we're going to be at this for a while.
Yeah, we didn't realize how much meat and potatoes were in this one.
Yeah, so it's quite a bit more than the normal listicles and things we pull.
Yeah, right.
For sure. Stick around. We have a full hour of local original music coming up next.
Woo-hoo.
On a little radio show we like to call Solid State Sessions.
Yay.
In which Adam plays, local original music. That's it.
That's right.
That's the idea here. Tune in Friday when he plays local original music, I guess.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Normally we have a promo for, we have something cool coming up Friday, but music. Michigan made music.
Music.
That's
it's
the plan.
It's Michigan's birthday, so...
I like it. All the foresight you've come to expect from Solid State Radio.
There you go.
Sessions is next. I'll be in well. Talk to you tomorrow afternoon at 3. See ya.